That's a good way to wind up this series. Discovering you're free. Turn with me to Philemon, chapter 1. There's only one chapter, but it's verse 6. So I say Philemon 6. He's writing this letter, and this is Paul communicating to Philemon. He said that the communication of your faith may become effectual or effective. How many of you want really effective faith?
Yes.
It becomes effective by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you. Now, how many of you are waiting for those good things to show up in your life? Well, you'll be waiting till 2 weeks over into the millennium. Because those good things are already in you.
Amen.
What are some of those good things? Love that never fails. Joy that is our strength. Peace that calms storms. Patience that stands in the midst of tribulation. You know, you will have tribulation in this world. Jesus said so. He said, but be encouraged. Be of good cheer. He says, I've overcome it. So hook on to Jesus and just walk where he leads. Through the storm, whatever, through the trial, through the temptation, through the test. By the way, we're all tempted, we are all tested, and trials are indiscriminate. They're like tornadoes. They don't care where they're going, they're just going to wreck something. And what we need to do is understand that trials will come, but greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. Say that with me. Greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. Don't stop saying that just when a trial comes. That's when you need it. You need it to come out of your mouth. That the communication, what's communication? That's the saying. That's the declaration. That the declaration of your faith may become effective by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. What is in you? A brand new, spanking new, new creation.
Amen.
That is the Spirit of Christ.
Amen.
The Spirit of Christ is formed in you. You are created. It says you were created in righteousness and true holiness.
Amen.
That's the new birth. You were not given or don't believe that righteousness was just imputed to you. No, that's an accounting term. It's counted to your account. That one day will be paid. No, it's already paid for. Jesus' blood has already been shed. It's already been paid for. Righteousness is not an imputation. It is a gift.
Amen.
Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Did I give you that one, Stephen? Okay, well, let's go to, I'll tell you what it says. Okay, let's go. I want you to let your eyes fall on this scripture. For he, God, has made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. Jesus was made sin with your sin, with my sin, with our sin. The sins of the whole world, past, present, and future, were laid on Jesus at the cross. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus was sinless. He was not a sinner. He was made to be sin. Your sin was transferred to him. It was laid on him. And he knew no sin. That we might be what? Made. The righteousness of God. In Christ. When you accepted Jesus and you became part of the body of Christ, you were baptized into the body of Christ. That is the one baptism that Paul was talking about, by the way. The other baptisms are baptism in the Holy Spirit, baptism in fire. Religion will paint that as, oh, I'm in a baptism of fire. Oh, woe is me. One day I'll get through all of this. That's not the baptism of fire. The baptism of fire is the anointing of God that comes on you to preach, Amen. To reconcile, to minister to people, to encourage people. That's the baptism of fire. He makes his ministers a flame of fire, it says. Well, I don't feel so lit. Well, there you go, checking your feelings to see if the word of God is true or not. You have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. In him. Yes. Are you in him or are you in Adam? In him. No, you are not in Adam any longer. No, because when Adam sinned, his spirit man died. The literal Hebrew, it says, God said, in the day that you eat from that the fruit of that tree, dying you shall die. In other words, his spirit died. Romans 5, I think it's verse 12, says this, for by one man sin came into the world, and death by sin. Death by what? Sin. By sin. So he had to, his spirit was corrupted. It took on the nature of Satan, which is death. And that's why he started sinning. Now, man was created to reproduce after his own kind. So then Adam and Eve reproduced after their own kind. A sinful, dead nature spirit called Cain and Abel. And what happened? The first thing that Cain, the first murder that was ever recorded in the world was Cain killed his own brother. Cain was marked and banished, and then they had Seth. Seth, they said, we're going to teach this boy right. Because Adam remembered what it was like to be with God, in God, in fellowship with God, relationship with God. So see what? And death by sin. Here's something really interesting. Do you know that there's no medical reason why people should die? Did you know that? Death stands mute in the face of death. It cannot explain it. Because every cell in your body is renewed every 7 years. The only reason, and this is why medical science can't explain it, because it's a spiritual thing. What came? It says sin entered into the world, and death by what?
Sin.
Sin is what kills. And all have sinned. Right? You sin, me sin, we all sin. We have a mortal body now. And that's why we will all step out of this. But the thing is, with a believer, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You have right standing with him. I just got a download here. Forgive me. Death is nothing more than a change of wardrobe to the believer. You don't need this earth suit anymore. Now you get a brand new suit. And God, a glorified body, just like Jesus. Just like his. Isn't that wonderful news? That will happen. This is the down payment we're experiencing now. But what the Bible says we have, we have. And we are made the righteousness of God in Christ. That cannot be undone. You are a child of God. Created in righteousness and true holiness. The Bible is full of this. Now, how do you experience that? Well, that the communication of your faith becomes effective when you acknowledge all those good things that are in you in Christ, the new creation. The I can do all things through Christ, which through the anointing and the anointed one and his anointing. Christ lives in me by faith. Turn with me to... Oh, let's see. A number of places we could go here. Let's start with Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24. This is a fun thing. You know, the more you study the Old Testament, the more you see things that really can't be explained. This is a man called Enoch. How many of you are familiar with Enoch? Oh, let's put it this way. How many of you are not familiar with Enoch? Okay. I wasn't around when he was there either, if you want to place a high premium on accuracy. But Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now let's go to Hebrews 11. Paul, I believe Paul wrote Hebrews, it doesn't say that, but it's the completion of the Pauline revelation. It shows what happened from the cross to the throne, which is left out in his other letters. But Hebrews 11, verse 5. You got it?
Yeah, it was five.
Okay. You're good. Okay. Okay. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not, because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, he pleased God. Why? The first two words of the verse. In verse 6, it says, "For without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them." Walk your life like everything you do, you're looking for God's rewards. Why? Because he said he is a rewarder, and if he is active in your life, you're going to experience rewards. To leave that out and say, "Oh, I don't want any rewards, really. I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm not that worthy." You know, Kenneth Hagin, the Lord appeared to him one time, and he just dropped to his knees. He put his hands on the top of Jesus' feet, and he says, "Oh, dear Lord, I am not. If there's anybody who's not worthy, it's me to be here with you right now." You know what Jesus said to him? He said, "Get up." You know, Jesus talked that way. The King James used to say, "Hold your peace." You know what that means? It means shut up. He talked, he said, "Get up." And Ken Fagan, he says, "My blood made you worthy. You are worthy. That is your identification. When you come to me, know that you are worthy. You are no longer a sinner. You can't be a sinner saved by grace. That's an impossibility. Because once you're saved by grace, you're no longer a sinner. You may sin once, but the thing is, it's like you're no longer a sinner. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Sin can't take that away from you. Right. Nobody goes to hell because they are a drunkard, or because they commit adultery, or because they steal something, or they lie. Nobody, all of those sins were laid on Jesus. He knows the condition of mankind. He doesn't need to be reminded about what is in man. Read the last verse of John chapter 2 sometime. It says he did not need to be reminded, I forget the exact verbiage, but it says, he did not need to be reminded of what was in man, for he knew what was in man. Sin. Deprivation. Let's say this. Once you start on that sin cycle, there is no bottom to sin. It doesn't have an end, period. That's it. That's as evil as you can get. No, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and deeper and deeper and deeper, and darker and darker and darker. That's the way sin is. It's like the kid who grew up with a little pet alligator. And he named the alligator Sin. And the alligator grew up and grew up and grew up. And one day the alligator just ate him. Mm-hmm. And that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to eat your lunch and pop the bag. Faith is the spiritual force that supersedes all of that. By faith, Enoch was translated. one verse earlier. By faith, did you know this? There have been three raptures already. You see, I think he's going to, that's heresy. No, there have been, the first rapture was Enoch. The second rapture was Elijah. And the third rapture was Jesus when he ascended on high at the right hand of God. And those three raptures represent something. What Jesus' rapture represents, you never have these guys that they say, there's no pre-trib rapture, it's mid-trib rapture. And then they say, right at the end of that's the rapture at the end of the tribulation period. Well, they're right if you're talking about which rapture are you talking about? If you're talking about the rapture of church, we are out of here before the tribulation. Because Jesus said, he who hears my words and believes on him who sent me has already passed from death to life and will not come into the judgment, reference to the tribulation period. The worst time of judgment ever to fall upon this world. And we have been redeemed from that judgment. We will not face that. That's the rapture of Jesus. The rapture of Elijah, he led the Jewish people back to God during his ministry. And Ahab and Jezebel and all that stuff, they got theirs, just like the devil's going to get his. But he brought the people back. He represents the mid-tribulation rapture of the 144,000 Jewish men and all the people that they got saved. They went into full gear, high-tech, powerful evangelistic crusade, and a lot of people would get saved during that first part of the tribulation. And then right at the middle, all of a sudden, in the book of Revelation, you see that they are there with everybody at the throne of God. How did they get there? They're sealed. The Antichrist can't kill them. They were raptured. Isn't this exciting?
Yes.
Yeah. Enoch represents that. He was the one sole person who got taken out of this thing. He represents the final rapture just before Armageddon. And the Armageddon is only going to last a few minutes, by the way. Half hour, it's done. God comes and goes. They're done. It says, with the breath of his nostrils, he will slay them. All these, and you know what? I believe it's in Daniel or Ezekiel. They're expecting Jesus to come back, and they've got their weapons pointing up, thinking that they're going to kill Jesus. You know, before he goes. And it says, with the breath of his mouth, he will slay them. That'll break his record because he, as the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, as the angel of the Lord, he still holds the record for the most kills of any general as the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, of any general in the history of the world. He slayed 185,000 Syrians that were coming after Israel. Why? Did he want to do that? No. He had to protect his people that he was covenanted to. God has covenanted you with a much stronger. So Enoch's rapture represents the remnant that will be saved during that second part of the tribulation, just before really hell hits, then they're carried out of here and delivered from it. God's plan is perfect for everybody. Go to Colossians chapter 1. I want to thank God for that. Are you hear those chains falling? Yeah. I hear those chains falling. Mm-hmm. Where are we? Colossians chapter 1, verse 7. Let's go to there. Thank you, Stephen. I'm learning. He says, you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant. Say Epaphras. 5 times fast. You also learned of Epaphras, Sassafras, Learn from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all what?
Wisdom and spiritual understanding.
You can know the will of God without applying wisdom to it, without filtering it through the mind of Christ that you have, because Christ has made unto us wisdom, the Bible says. Knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Too much of the time, we understand his will and we try to compare it to what we're experiencing now in this realm, in the physical realm, but not in the spirit, with any spiritual understanding about what's going on in the spirit realm. And as a result, we miss it. We miss a lot of things. You got to pay attention to what this Bible is really saying rather than what you think it says, rather what I think it says. Let it interpret itself. Stay on these scriptures a little longer than just skimming over it and just saying, yeah, that sounds good. Meditate on just that verse. Read it through 10 times. Pray in tongues and look at it again. And it'll come alive to you. And you'll not only see that it means wisdom and spiritual understanding, but you will receive wisdom and spiritual understanding from the Word, because it's going to show you what you already have on the inside. Boy, that skit was good today. Yes. Devil is such a liar. You are such a liar. Samuel.
And a coward.
And a coward. And a counterfeit. And everything else there. Convinced her that she had these chains. Because she was trusting in her feelings. So the Word has better things to say. You know, feelings don't change the Word, but the Word will change your feelings. Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Excuse me, being fruitful in every good work. Do you know you were created, in Ephesians chapter 2, it says that we were created unto good works. Amen. Well, it's not works. I know, you don't get saved by works, but you get saved for works. And increasing in the knowledge of God. There is godly knowledge and there's more worldly knowledge. There are people who have a lot of worldly knowledge and people have a lot of respect for them, but they don't know a whole lot about God. Pray for those people, because they are centers of influence for a lot of people. You know, this is what Demas Shakarian years ago formed the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. And it was, God showed him, in fact, God transported him up to look at the world, and he saw the world, this globe, and the Lord, and he saw the Lord's hand, and it goes like this, and he starts, and he says, see those lights? These are very affluent people who have money in the earth locked up, and I have reserved it for you to distribute among the body of Christ. Wow. The Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship was founded to loosen up that money that'll fund the gospel for the end time surge. Amen. You know, Jesus said we are his hands and feet, right? Amen. Well, God doesn't have money in heaven. It's needed here in the earth, and the propagation of the gospel throughout the world, it takes money to do it. People got to get on planes. They need hotels. They need accommodations and everything to get this word out. And Paul said, how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they be sent? And they need provisions. That's what this thing is all about. God knows where that money is and how to get it to you. And if you allow that money to go through you, he will get it to you. Verse 11. Strengthened with all might. Was that too loud for you? Strengthened. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. One day we were up at Lexington. nursing home up in Lake Zurich, and there was this guy named Frank. And Frank, we're going to see him in heaven. He's just a wonderful, wonderful guy. And we used to go back to his room and get him, you know, see if he wanted to come to service, get him in his wheelchair and everything. I hadn't walked in a long time. And we had, what's her name, Zivart? Ohanessian. Zivart Ohanessian, one of our, in our nursing home ministry, she came with us and she sat down and looked at Frank. Frank really couldn't get up. She says, "Say this, Frank. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." He said, "I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Say it again. I thought Christians were supposed to be gentle. Well, yeah, this is gentle power. So, "I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And he said, what, 7 or 8 times? He says, "Okay, now you want to come to service?" "Yeah. But I want to walk." He got up and he started walking. It was almost like he was on his toes, though. He was like, it was like this. And he walked on, and he just for steady, there's a railing on the wall here, and he's going, and this nurse came down, and she almost dropped her tray. She, "What is he doing up?" So, "Well, it's the Lord." They don't understand that. Right. And he came in, and then since he hadn't stood up in a long time, he said, I got to go back." "Why?" "I got to pee." So we got him back there. But the thing is, he started saying what God says about him. He started to receive what he already had. "I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Not mine. His. And it just started to click and make sense. The Holy Spirit just clicked it in gear and he got up. I don't know how long it had been since he walked. I don't think he even remembered. But we're going to see him in heaven. But he always said, "Get my hat. Get my hat." And I said, "Okay, we'll get your hat." He had this fedora. He says, "A Catholic priest gave this to me." I said, "Well, praise God. He was proud of that hat." Oh, dear God. "Strengthened with all might, according to who? His glorious power." Amen. Hallelujah. "Unto all patience." Never say, "I'm running out of patience with you." Never say, "I'm not a patient person." You are denying the very fruit that was created in you with the new birth. You don't have to pray for patience. You already have it. The fruit of the Spirit is already part of the new creation. It is in you. Love is in you. Joy is in you. Peace is in you. Peace that you need to release when you come into a stormy situation. When you come into a tense, stress-filled situation, you need to release peace. You need to speak it. You have it on the inside of you. Say, "I'm not getting near that strife. I'm not." No, a soft answer turns that stuff off. What is a soft answer? A soft answer is one that doesn't blame, but reveals who's behind it. Get anything out of that? I did. Praise God, it was a download. Verse 12, "giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet." What does that mean? He's empowered us. He's made us fit. He's made us able. He has empowered us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That means the ones who are in the know, they have revelation, knowledge, and spiritual understanding about what's going on, what they have, what they've been given, what the blood of Christ did for them, bought for them, sealed in their spirit when they were born again. That's the saints in light. Who? Jesus has delivered us from the power of darkness.
Amen.
And has translated us, just like Enoch was translated, just like Elijah was translated, just like Jesus rose, just like it. Because in Ephesians 2 it says, "And you who were dead in trespasses and sins, has he made alive. And we have been made alive together with him and made to sit with him in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion in every name that is named. You have been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. You are in Christ. This is telling you something that is so valuable. You meditate on this until your eyes start going like this, and then all of a sudden shut your eyes and start with your heart just seeing who you are in the Spirit, what he says about you, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. When Jesus showed up here in that white shirt and pants and sandals, even right down to the sandals, he had Jesus. And he came in and he said, what chains? You don't want Jesus to appear to you sometimes and say, what darkness are you under? What chains are you under? What lack? If any man lack, first of all, we shouldn't be lacking anything. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Now, if you find yourself lacking wisdom, ask for God. He'll give it to you abundantly. But you're not asking for something that you don't already have. You're acknowledging that good thing that's in you. Christ is made unto us wisdom, righteousness. There's a balance to this. Calling things which be not as though they were. That is not denying the fact. When you're sick, you're sick. You don't deny the fact that you're sick. I mean, I went to a prep school that was founded by Christian scientists. That's why I became an atheist. because they indoctrinated us on Tuesday and Thursday mornings. We had 90-minute classes where they were indoctrinating us into the Christian Science religion. And to me, it made absolutely no sense, because if there's no such thing as sickness, which is what they say, it's all metaphysical stuff. If there's no such thing as, then why do you need faith to overcome something that doesn't exist? I couldn't get that. So I would ask them that, and they said, Mr. Totten, you can leave the room. I got thrown out of class. And all I did was ask questions. Logical questions. So in order to explain their way around it, they said, well, sickness doesn't really exist. And one day, I said, you know, there's a lot of people dying of stuff that doesn't exist. I was just logical. I mean, is that being a wise guy or anything? No, but it challenged them because they had nothing to stand on and they knew it. But you see, what happened is, even though I didn't believe in what they were saying, it was still seed and it was still going in here. And when it goes in your ear, somehow it gets in your heart and it reproduces after its own kind. And after a couple of years of this, I became an atheist. I said, there's no God. You see what happens? Because Christian Science is basically atheism. They take the person out of God and they boil it down to nothing more than principles. It's atheism. It's lack of God who created those principles, and the person of God has to be connected to them. Science lesson, I guess. Has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Is this something that's going to happen someday? Anybody? Does this tell us in the most assuring way that we can look forward to one day all this, I'll be delivered from the power of darkness? Does it assure us that this will happen someday? You know how the devil, it already happened. Well, I can't. I don't feel. Remember, she said, Abby? She said, I don't feel free. Don't consult your feelings as the final authority to tell you whether God's word is true or not. Because once you agree with the word of God, which is established here in heaven forever, it is settled forever in heaven. When you believe it here, you confess it with your mouth, it is established here. And all the power that is settled in heaven on that word is released in your body, in your situation, in your job, whatever it is where you need the power of God. You agree with something that is already settled forever in heaven. As far as God's concerned, it's done. But how do you get that to me? Turn to, I didn't include this, 1 John chapter 1. In fact, no. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians 1, 3. My Bible's falling apart. Yeah, it's a good sign that your life isn't. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Right? Let's go to, I'm sorry, Ephesians 1, 3. You can?
My computer's completely frozen and nothing works.
Anybody got a heating pad? Just reboot. Okay. Blessed be, do you have your Bibles with you? Always bring your Bible so you can let your eyes rest on these things. Because once your eyes hit it, you will rest. Good job today. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The term heavenly places simply means the spirit realm. You can tell that as you put the other letters of Paul together, that's what he's referring to. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the spirit realm. They are a reality in the spirit, in other words. Those blessings that are all the blessings of God, the blessing of Abraham, in Deuteronomy 28, the first 14 verses, say you'll be blessed in the country, blessed in the field, blessed, 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 blessed. That's the blessing of Abraham. And the rest of the chapter tells us everything that you have been delivered from because you're in Christ.
Amen.
All right? Now, they weren't in Christ back then. But Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, and that's what that whole thing is. But the first 14 verses is the blessing of Abraham. 1-3.
Okay,
you got it, man. See? You got it. Blessed be God. You know, you've got to walk knowing you're walking with a God who is blessed. He has nothing to give you but blessing. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the spirit realm. How do we get those blessings that are already a reality in the spirit realm into our life so that we can feel it, taste it, touch it, hear it? So it can. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. Oh, there you are. Verse 1. That which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. Next verse. For the life was what?
Manifested.
That's a big word. Manifested. Right. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested. Let's go back to verse 1. That which was from the beginning. In other words, before there was even a beginning, there was Him. Who was from the beginning. That which was from the beginning. beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. That verse shows us and reveals to us what the process of that manifestation is that's talked about in verse 2. What is that process? It says, that which we have what?
Heard.
What comes from hearing? Faith! Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith doesn't give us victory. Faith is the victory. And when you start walking in faith, guess what happens? Victory. Amen. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. You know, they saw Jesus. He's talking about this. It's a double reference here because it's referencing the spiritual realm from a natural event. We handled him. That which we've heard, which we have seen with our eyes. So once faith comes, you start to see with the eyes of your understanding. You start to see things differently. You get to see trials that are not that much of a challenge to you anymore. Impossible situations that suddenly don't look that impossible anymore. Why? Because you're seeing it with the eyes of your understanding. You have been given the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So faith comes by hearing. Then you start to see differently. You start to see with the eye of faith, which we have looked upon. Looked upon. Now you're looking upon it. Now this has grabbed your attention. You got both eyes and your entire mind on this thing. This is meditation on the word of God. This book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all things that are written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and you shall have good success. Joshua 1:8. That is the power of meditation. Meditating on the word, unlocking the life and the power of God in that word. Amen. Looking upon it. Looking upon it. What's that doing? It's going into your imagination. It's going in, it's giving you vision, his vision for your life. And then what happens? Our hands have handled. Then it starts to manifest in our life. The Spirit of God will start manifesting things in your life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was of the Father, and was manifested unto us. That's the process of manifestation. You got to read this with a spiritual mind, with a spiritual eye, with a heart to understand, knowing that God is in you to reveal truth to you. This is how you walk in victory. This is understanding something. I'll close with this. It's like you're talking about something that hasn't even happened yet. No, I'm talking about something that has happened. I'm talking about a kingdom that you're walking in that you cannot see with your eyes. You cannot smell. Well, sometimes you smell the aroma of Jesus or angel, whatever. It does manifest that way. But as a kingdom, as a rule, you can't see with your physical eyes or with your physical nose. You can't taste it. You can't feel it. You can't hear it with audible words. All right? But what happens is you start hearing with the ears that hear down here. Translated into his kingdom. You have been translated into that kingdom. And your spirit man on the inside of you is very familiar with it. This is why when Jesus talks to you, you know it because you know the voice of the Good Shepherd. Amen. You know his voice. You hear his voice. Amen. He leads and you follow.
Hallelujah.
Say that. I know the voice of the Good Shepherd.
I know the voice of the Good Shepherd.
I hear his voice.
I hear his voice.
He leads me. And I follow him. And the voice of a stranger I will not follow. Now, you know that in your head? Start looking upon it. Start delving into it. Let that word just come apart in your, let the arrow of that seed just crack open and release the life of God in you and you'll walk in victory, realizing that you have been translated into his kingdom, and given his authority, and given the inheritance that he got for you, the same inheritance that he has, you have. Praise God. I hope you got as much out of that as I did. It'll work for you. Don't be discouraged, because the second you walk out of this door, guess who? There's Slewfoot's out there. And he wants to destroy that word before it gets. But you know what? Here's the beautiful thing. Once that word gets down in your heart and it starts to empower you, there isn't a thing in the world he can do about it. He can't. He's done. He's done. Let it come. Let it make the change in you. Let it convert your soul. Let it destroy the darkness of the past. Let it just, you're going to realize that you are a new creation. You don't have to deal with all that stuff. It's not yours anyway. The devil's trying to convince you have it. You're stuck with it forever. No, I'll tell you what's forever. I'm free because I believe in Jesus. I know the truth, and he cannot lie. He has told me I'm free. I'm his. Lead on, Jesus. Praise God. Father, I thank you for your word. We thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God, that we might understand your voice. We might understand your truth, that we might see it with the eyes that have been enlightened with the anointing of God, so that we have equal fellowship with you, to know the hope we've been called to, what the riches of the glory of the inheritance that you've laid up for us, and the power that is always coming towards us to fuel us, to encourage us, to wipe away tears, to help us forgive and walk in victory. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.